Well, once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. We're going to be taking up this lesson, Crossing Over the Jordan, Part 2. If you didn't catch the first part of this lesson, you can get it on the website soon, and as soon as we get it loaded up on there. And so this is a very important lesson that pertains to us as Christians to cross into our destiny, cross into our calling. And so we'll take up this lesson here in just a minute. First, I want to update you on what is going on here in Kenya. We've been working on our dining hall conference room, and this last 2 weeks we started working on a kitchen beside the dining hall. We're going to start serving meals to the public. We're going to have a restaurant, you might say coffee house restaurant, out there at the church compound. And there's nothing like it anywhere in Makunda. There's a lot of depressed people in Makunda, a lot of depressed structures, housing that is very substandard, even for Kenya standards. And so we're going to have a place where people can come and get a cup of tea, a cup of coffee, maybe a pastry, a simple meal. And this is going to be right beside the church and right beside our marketplace, what we call our marketplace. We have a posho mill, and we have a little store, a duka, where people come get sugar and salt, tea, those kinds of things, soap. And so we're going to have a nice little marketplace there with a flour mill, a store, and now a little restaurant. And so this is an exciting project. It'll be a place of evangelism as well as to feed people food. And so we're finishing up that project this week. We'll just about be done with the kitchen. Surely by next week we'll be done. And so that is the project we're working on. Also looking at going over to Congo and Burundi, praying about that. And the Lord is putting it on my heart to go to Congo, put my feet on the ground there, and pray for the people around that east region of Congo. I've been over there several times, but not for a few years now. And to pray for peace, because there's a lot of rebel activity starting to stir up. People are getting moved out of their villages, a lot of refugees moving into Goma, the capital city. And so the Lord is speaking to me about going over there. So pray about that. Pray about provision to get over there. Pray about my part in bringing peace and changing the course of history there in the Democratic Republic of Congo. Well, today, as I spoke, we're going to be talking about crossing over the Jordan. And this is a very significant spiritual event as well as physical event. It was one of the greatest miracles recorded in the Old Testament. And it was a miracle of monumental portions, rivals up there with the parting of the Red Sea. And it is very similar in a lot of ways to the parting of the Red Sea. And it's also a significant event because the children of Israel are going in to claim their inheritance. They've been out in the wilderness area for 40 years now, and they have been wandering around, and the old generation of people, the unbelieving generation, the doubters, they are not being allowed to go in. All of them died in the wilderness area, and the only two of the old generation that are going in are Joshua, the leader of this group of people, and Caleb. And they were the original spies who gave a good report. When the Lord sent spies into the land to look over the land and see what kind of bounty, what kind of people were in the land, Joshua and Caleb came back and they said, "We can take this land. This is good land. The Lord has given it to us. We just need to go in and take it." And they were the only two of the spies who gave a good report. All the other spies gave a bad report, said, "We are grasshoppers in the sight of the giants there. We're just grasshoppers. We're not going to be able to take the land." They gave no credence or no credibility to the Lord being able to allow them to go in and take the land. And so Joshua and Caleb are here with this band or this group of people. It is a nation, actually, 2 million people, some people say, 600,000 adults, and a total of possibly 2 million people. So it's a magnificent nation of people preparing to go in and take the land that the Lord has given to them. So turn in your Bible today to Joshua chapter 3, and we're going to start here in verse 2. And so it was after 3 days that the officers went through the camp, and they commanded the people, saying, "When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall get out from your place and go after it." And so the Ark of the Covenant is going to lead the people into the Jordan, and that is a symbolic representation of our Lord God leading us. It's also a representation of Jesus Christ leading us. The Ark of the Covenant contained the Ten Commandments, and so the presence of God was in the Ark. The presence of Jesus was in the Ark. And so Joshua is saying through the officers here that the Ark is going to go first, and when you see it go down into the Jordan, when you see it head for the river, then you come along. And so this was all very orderly. There was no random chaos about crossing the Jordan. 2 million people went in a very orderly fashion, and this is the way the Lord conducts his business. This is the way the Lord instructs. And when we follow the instructions of the Lord, then we will see the benefits and the results. So in verse 5, then Joshua says to the people, "Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." Then Joshua spoke to the priests, saying, "Take up the Ark of the Covenant and cross over before the people." So they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. And the Lord said to Joshua, "This day I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you." And so the Lord is going to exalt Joshua in the sight of the people of Israel, and so that they will know that he is their leader. They will know that he is exalted, that he has the ordination to lead these people. And so this is the setting before they cross in to the River Jordan. Well, there's many things here in teaching, many symbolic things. The Jordan River symbolizes a boundary and a crossing point in the spiritual realm. And so I'm speaking to you today as at the start of the new year as a believer. Maybe you're a baby believer, maybe you're a minister, maybe you're a pastor, maybe you have some calling, you're a deacon, an elder, maybe you're a housewife, whatever it is that you are in the spirit realm, we're starting a new year. So this is a time to reflect and to look at our spiritual walk with the Lord, look at our ordination, look at our anointing, our calling, our ministry, whatever it is that God has you to do. This is the time to look at it because we're starting out in a new year. And so the Jordan River represents that boundary and the crossing point. And so it is a metaphor for spiritual rebirth and salvation. Well, I'm going to speak to you today. If you have never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, your spiritual walk begins with a confession of faith. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And so if you've never confessed your sins and repented of your sins, turned from your wicked ways, you need to do that, because your spiritual rebirth, your spiritual walk, your spiritual enlightenment does not start until you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And I'm not speaking of spirituality, the great general conversation of spirituality. I'm not speaking of that right now. I'm talking about your spiritual walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, your confession of faith that you believe he is the Son of the living God, and that you believe that he died for you on the cross, that Jesus went to the cross and he shed his perfect, precious blood for you, that you can know him for all eternity, that your sins can be forgiven, and that you are raised up just as Jesus was raised up at the resurrection, that you too are raised up out of your sin and out of your walk with the devil, whatever it is you've done that has been sinful, that you come up out of that and the old has passed away, and you then start your spiritual walk. So your spiritual rebirth doesn't start. If you're an unbeliever, if you're not a born-again believer, your spiritual rebirth starts with that confession of faith, and you walk with the Lord, you move into your calling, you move into your destiny. Just as the children of Israel are going across the Jordan River, you cross into your inheritance, you cross into your calling because of your confession of faith. Well, the Hebrew meaning of the word Jordan or the Jordan River is to flow down or descend. And you know, the Jordan flows down from the north to the south in Israel, and it comes down past Jerusalem. That's where John the Baptist was, out at the Jordan River, when Jesus visited him out there. And that's where Jesus' ministry started, was at the Jordan River. He went out to be baptized, and you can read about that in Matthew chapter 3. Jesus went out to be baptized there, and the Holy Spirit came upon him, lit on him, and Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit. He was baptized by his cousin John, and the heavens opened up, and the Lord spoke, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And so the Jordan River also was the starting place of Jesus' ministry, the official starting place of Jesus' ministry. And so this passage of Scripture then represents rebirth. It represents time to get started in the Lord's work in your life, and whatever it is God has for you to do, the time now is to do it. Well, Joshua said to the children of Israel in verse 5, "Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." Well, what does it mean to sanctify yourself? Sanctification is a big word. We don't use it too much in secular language, but it is a big word that means basically this: set yourself aside to do the work of the Lord. Set yourself aside from the affairs of the world, from the events of the world, to do the work of the Lord. And when you set yourself aside, you do that through prayer, you do that through Bible study, you do that through fellowship, weekly commitment to the fellowship, be in church every Sunday, be in church and get in a small group Bible studies, get in the fellowship, find something to do to activate your calling, to promote your calling. That is sanctification, that you start to separate yourself from the world, and you're not just passing your time in worldly events, watching ball games, drinking beer, whatever it is you like to do. You start to set yourself aside to do the work of the Lord. And beloved, when you start to do that, the devil is going to attack you. You're going to have all kinds of spiritual warfare that you never experienced before in your life. But when you sanctify yourself, the Lord says, "Oh, I love that. I'm going to bless that. I'm going to give strength and courage to that man, to that woman, to sanctify themselves." And when the Lord starts to see that you have a desire in yourself, in your heart, a desire to serve him, a desire to do something unique and unusual for the Lord, when you have a desire to do that, then the Lord will bless you, he will keep you, and he will watch over you. Psalm 37:4 says, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart." Well, when you delight yourself in the Lord, that means you take pleasure in serving the Lord. You take pleasure in doing God's will for your life. And so when you delight yourself in the Lord will give you the desires of your heart. Beloved, we have a good ministry going here in Africa, but it is nothing of me. The Lord showed me to come here. The Lord showed me that he would bless me. The Lord showed me that he would give the provision for preaching the gospel here, for doing everything that we do. The Lord is the one who is the source of the provision. The Lord is the one who gives the counsel on how to proceed. And if you would come here and look at this mission, you would see a beautiful children's home and all these children that we've taken care of over the years. And we have about 25 out there now, but you would see that, that these children are being blessed by your prayers, by your giving, by the encouragement that we give them. And you would see a great church there. We're raising up some disciples in the church, and we're also preaching the gospel in crusades and church conferences, places around the nations of Africa. And so this is all an inspiration from the Lord. This is way beyond what I can think or imagine for myself. It's way beyond what I could organize for myself. This is the Lord's doing. And so this is sanctification. There was a time in my life when I just started to study God's word back in about the year 2000. I just started to devour God's word, started to read and listen to preachers. And I took my Bible with me just about everywhere I would go. And if I had extra time, I would read God's word, get up early every morning, read God's word. And I still do that every day. You need to do that as well. Find a time in your secret place when you can read God's word. Find a time in your secret place when you can pray and ask the Lord for wisdom. Ask the Lord for direction. I know we all have busy lives. If you're working, it's hard to carve out that time, but you can do it. Get up early or stay up late at night and study God's word. Spend time in prayer, and you will then reap the blessings as you delight yourself in the Lord. Well, as we look at them crossing, let's go over to verse 16, and it says, "The waters that came down from upstream stood still and rose in a heap very far away at Adam." Adam was a village or a town near Jerusalem, and the waters rose up in a heap very far away at Adam, the city that is beside Zaratan. So the waters that went down into the Sea of Araba, the Salt Sea, failed and were cut off, and the people crossed over opposite Jericho. And then in verse 17, "Then the priests who bore the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan, and all Israel walked across on dry ground until all the people had crossed completely over the Jordan." Well, this is just an amazing, amazing miracle. The Jordan at this time was in flood stage, so it was bigger than normal. Some people say at flood stage it was many, many feet deep and many feet wide. Ordinarily, the Jordan is a fairly small river, probably looks similar to some of the rivers in western Kansas, a bit small, but at flood stage it was a big, big river, and the Lord stood all that water up all the way back to the village or the town of Adam, A-D-A-M, the same as Adam, what we call Adam in the book of Genesis, the first man, the first Adam. And so what the Lord is symbolizing here was that the sin of the people of Israel was blocked all the way to Adam. It was rolled back all the way to Adam. And so the children of Israel are coming out of Egypt. They're coming out of the bondage that they were in, the slavery that they were in for over 400 years in Egypt. Now they've been out in the wilderness area for 40 years. Now the sins of all those people is rolled back all the way to Adam, as a symbolic representation that the Lord is washing their sins away, and the Lord God and Jesus Christ, the Ark of the Covenant, is leading the children of Israel across the Jordan River, and these 2 million people walk across the Jordan on dry land. Well, some people discount this miracle, say there was some kind of an earthquake that caused the water to divert or something like that. Beloved, believe in the miracles of God. Believe that we have a miracle-working God. If God wants to stand up the waters of the Jordan River, he can do that. If he wants to part the Red Sea, he can do that. If he wants to burn a bush and it doesn't consume the bush with the fire, he can do that. And so believe in a miracle-working God. If you don't have a concept of God as a miracle-working supernatural God, you need to get that concept beloved, because God is a God of miracles. He's a God of healings. He's a God that can do supernatural things. And we need to get back into our heart and into our spirit the idea that God that we serve, Jehovah God and His Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, they are supernatural. It's not anything that we can really explain, nothing that we can design for ourselves or formulate for ourselves. Our God is a supernatural God, and when He stood up these waters of the Jordan, then the people walked across on dry land. Can you imagine? Just think about that in your mind, these people walking across on dry land, and the people of Jericho that were on the other side, the pagan people, the people of Jericho, I'm sure, were astounded. Some of them maybe have been able to watch this, and so the Lord is taking the children across so that they can start to claim their inheritance. Well, I'm going to close here with a couple of scriptures that come from the New Testament. 1 Thessalonians 5:24, He who calls you is faithful, and He also will do it, or He will see it come to pass. Beloved, this story of crossing over the Jordan is an amazing story, but it speaks to us about our own spiritual journey. And I want you to get a concept of yourself crossing over into your own spiritual walk with the Lord, into your own calling, your own destiny. And Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5:24, He who calls you, God who calls you, is faithful. Yes, we all lack faith. Yes, we all have doubts. Yes, we all have unbelief. But start to believe for yourself that God has a call on your life. He has a destiny for you. He has spoken that even before you were born, that you are to do this, that you have this spiritual walk laid out before you. Start to speak that and understand that and seek that for your life. And it says that He will do it. He will see it come to pass. Well, what does that mean? You can't just sit there in the rocking chair and say, okay, Lord, You do it. You can't just sit there and hope that God does everything and you're just going to get carried along like somebody on a tow rope behind a ski boat. No, you have to contend for it. You have to pray about it. You have to fight for it. You have to ask the Lord give you wisdom so you know where to walk, just like you had to go seek a job. If you have a job, you had to go make an application. You had to go fight for it. You had to go get an interview, all these things. So it is in your walk with the Lord. You can't just sit there and let the Lord drag you around, think there's no part that you can play in contending for your destiny. You have to fight for it. You have to pray. You have to ask the Lord for wisdom. Maybe you have to go to a conference. Maybe you have to go to on a mission trip, sign up for something to do. If the Holy Spirit starts to speak to you about moving this way, moving that, you have to be obedient, and that is how the Lord sees it come to pass. He will start to encourage you. He will start to give you wisdom. He will start to strengthen you, and He will see it come to pass. When the Lord does that, when the Lord gives you that encouragement and that strengthening, the Holy Spirit will confirm it with your own human spirit, and you will know that you're walking with the Lord. When the Holy Spirit gave me a dream in 2010 that I was to come to Africa. I had no desire to come to Africa. I didn't know one single person here, but the Lord gave me a dream, and I knew it was from the Lord. I knew it was a powerful dream, and the Lord was showing me where He was calling me to preach. The Lord was showing me my destiny, and so as the Lord confirmed that to me in events in the next few months after that dream, I ended up over in Nairobi preaching with a group, big group from Vancouver, Washington. And we came here and we preached a crusade in Kibera and a crusade in Uhuru Park and visited orphanages, did a lot of ministry all around in Nairobi. And so the Lord confirmed it with events in my life that this is what He wanted me to do. When I got here and started to preach, I knew this was the place that the Lord wanted me to be. And then in Another scripture, 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And when you start to walk with the Lord, you're going to cross over that boundary. When you start to seek your calling, you're going to cross over that Jordan River in your life. You're going to move into your calling. You're going to move into your destiny. You're going to move into the will of God in your life, and you're going to start to feel like you really have a purpose in your life. You're going to start to feel like you have really come home, and this is the place where God wants you to be. Beloved, when you get to that place, you're going to have peace you've never had in your life. When you get to that place, you're going to have joy. God will start to open up the secrets of the Bible to you, the secrets of His journey for you, and He will see it come to pass. He will strengthen you and encourage you, and He will see it come to pass. Well, beloved, I hope you have enjoyed this message. Next week, we're going to look at some more of Crossing Over. Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We thank the Lord for that. We praise Him for all the many years, and we would love to hear from you today. Sit down and write out a check. Let us know you're listening. We have contact information coming up at the end of this broadcast. We'd love to hear from you today. We enjoy bringing these broadcasts to you, but it costs money, as you know, and so we would love to hear from you today and for the other projects we have going here in Africa. Thank you again for listening. Stay tuned for contact information. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.